Previously on Murder We Spoke.
We will close out the series with an epic live finale you do not want to miss.
Our goal is to close the case on the disappearance of Roger Atwood.
What can you give us?
I have some information I can give you right now on Atwood if Murder We Spoke receives 100% billing credit for the final episode.
Rita was going to fuck you over. She wanted me to shoot Bernie, take the money, and essentially cut you, Jane, and your little radio show out of the picture. He's going to need round-the-clock care.
What if he wouldn't want that?
Back in 1995, a 12-year-old girl was found nearly frozen to death when she slipped through the ice in the Marquette Park Lagoon. Witches or not, some person led that girl out onto that ice. And no one knows who that person is.
Welcome back to Murder We Spoke, a narrative podcast.
In a podcast.
In a podcast. Presented by Tantrum East Theater. My name is Lisa Bowl.
And I'm T-Bone.
Oh, just T-Bone now.
I've been thinking a lot about what you said.
What did I say?
When we first started this series.
Is T-Bone your new TikTok handle?
No. Not yet.
Ah.
I'm talking about being memorable. You were right. Theater isn't dead. As long as there is an audience, theater is alive and well. You just gotta make it memorable for it to survive.
Where are you going with this?
What was the first ever theatrical performance in Western history?
Thespis! Ancient Greece.
Right. 6th century BC, Thespis steps out on stage and engages the Greek chorus in a dialogue with the audience watching. Theater is born.
I don't know if our listeners are interested in a history lesson.
Right. This was actually the story I wanted to tell until you won the coin toss and brought Murder We Spoke into my life. I wanted to share the story of Thespis's first performance. But then I started digging deeper and deeper into theater's history. What Thespis did was huge. The ancient Greeks watching had never seen anything quite like it before. It was the talk of the city. People flocked from faraway lands to see this new spectacle called theater. And they paid. Oh, they paid lots of drachma just to sit in those nosebleeds. But then, like all new things, the shine began to wear off. The drachma stopped rolling in, and that made some people concerned. Mostly city and government officials who got used to the extra cash influx. Something had to be done. Where were the audiences going? That's when they decided to follow the screams. The screams led them to the execution chambers. It was not the screams of the people about to die. It was the screams of the audience, chanting, goading, yelling to see blood. They started charging admission. From there, the crowds kept coming for centuries. Those killing spectacles became a natural part of history. The battles in the Roman Colosseum, the medieval theater of execution, beheadings, the Inquisition, hangings, the Salem witch trials, on and on and on. Every time a plague, a pandemic, or sheer boredom would shut down playhouses, it was blood. This blood that kept theater alive. We, Lisa, we need to help keep theater alive.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. How do we do that?
I have a surprise for you.
What is it? No. Where did you find this?
We have a playwright friend that lives in Chicago. I asked her to go to her local library and she found it. An article from the Southwest News Herald, February 1995.
Police were called to Marquette Park at roughly 12:15 a.m. after reports of a young child screaming for help. The police found 12-year-old Marcy Davis barely clinging to life, half frozen, after she fell into the Marquette Park Lagoon. According to Davis, she walked onto the dangerously thin ice in the hopes of making contact with the Witches of Marquette Park. Police are urging locals to keep a watchful eye on all children that participate in activities at Marquette Park, as the deep lagoon across from the gymnasium often freezes over, but remains treacherously thin. According to the 8th District Police Commander, these kids need to be supervised at all times. Their imaginations can get the best of them, and dangerous situations like this can occur. There are no witches, just a bunch of kids playing make-believe and scaring themselves.
There's more.
Another surprise?
We made our listeners wait long enough. Let's get started. Will you do the honors?
Oh, okay, yeah. Yep. Here's episode 8, The Witches of Marquette Park, part 1. 2019. The day is finally here. The day of the event. AJ and Bailey take their first steps into the Murder We Spoke shed.
I guess they never fixed that door.
Are you recording?
Yeah, but I can't see anything. Where's the light?
Found it.
Wow.
Oh, so this is it.
This is it.
This is fucking exhilarating.
Where do you think Rita's body was?
I think they just barely dragged it through the door.
Shit. Like, right here?
Yeah.
Fuck. I got goosebumps.
The inside of this shed was the last thing Atwood saw.
You think he's dead?
Given what they found at Paula's apartment, I would say it's a pretty safe guess.
I don't know. There is footage of him leaving the shed after his confession, and the agreement stipulates he has to be alive in order for them to get out. Why would they agree to this if he wasn't?
Do you think... I mean, can a person live without their... Like, if a person chops that off, can they...
We all good in here?
Yes, officer. Just need to get the rest of the equipment, and we are ready to get started.
All right. Come on, ladies. You know the drill.
Wow.
That's what I said.
Does it look the same?
Looks like home.
Okay. Well, let's get started.
Do you mind removing her face mask? It is an audio format, after all.
Right. Officer, if you wouldn't mind.
Are you gonna be nice, Paula?
So much better. Ugh. Now the cuffs, please.
I don't...
It's in the agreement.
Look, it's just a podcast, right? They don't need their hands.
If there's going to be a breach of contract, I guess you can just take us back to...
No, no. It's fine. She's right. It was all agreed to in the contract. We all signed it. We all understand. There are hundreds of people waiting to hear this episode tonight. It needs to happen. Please.
I'm gonna be sitting right in this corner.
You'll be our special guest. Front row seats.
What time you got?
We go live in about 5 minutes.
Let's not keep him waiting.
Yes, of course. Everything is set up the way you described it.
Mm-hmm. Fancy equipment.
We wanted to be sure the quality was on point.
Chris, what are you doing?
Hey, hands where I can see them.
I'm just plugging the equipment in. You gonna shoot me over an extension cord?
Hey, let's just relax, okay? Cress is the sound engineer.
She's the producer.
It was a misunderstanding, and all the guns are going to be put away. Right?
This is a bad idea.
I think we can handle it.
Do you know who these people are?
We signed a contract.
You might as well have signed it with the fucking devils. You can't trust them.
It's okay.
Okay. Nothing about this is okay. They killed a person, then disposed of the body like it was nothing, and just continued on with their day. Do you understand the type of people you are dealing with?
That's why we cover people like them. To show the ugliness to the world and stare the monsters in the face.
Monster is a little strong.
You should be covering the victims, not these psychopaths.
Yeah, but no one wants to listen to that.
Don't you want to learn what makes people like us tick? How someone could pick up a kettlebell and smash a person's skull in over and over and feel nothing but ecstasy? A sense of control that is so addicting you spend your entire life chasing it. Wouldn't it be nice to know where we came from? How we were made? Our origin story?
Our inspiration?
So that you can take a look at your life and say, well, at least I'm not like them. Those monsters. But you watch and you listen, and maybe somewhere deep in your mind, past the victims and the empathy, you start to feel a little itch. And a quick whisper says, I wonder what it's like to take a life.
You're fucked. I would never.
You sound really confident for a person who just pulled a gun on a girl for fixing some wires.
How about we all just take a deep breath and let's maybe reset?
We go live in 1 minute.
Well, reset done. How about we have you take a seat in this very comfortable chair in the corner, right here? Wonderful. Look, you can see everything.
I just want to go on record as apparently the only sane person in this room and say, this is fucked.
Noted.
Mics, please.
Yes, here you go.
Oh, Chaotica fat boys just like old times.
We did our research.
You certainly did. We are set.
Mic test, 1, 2, 3.
Hold on. Paula, can you not? Just as good as I remember.
How are we on attendance?
Let me check. Holy shit.
What?
How many?
There's over 10,000. 10,100. 10,200.
They came for the victims, right?
Fucking sick.
10,300? 400?
Hell yeah.
500?
All right, we are live in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hello, and welcome back to Murder, We Spoke. My name is Bernie Brown, and sitting right beside me is the notorious Paula Anderson.
Hello, Bernie. It feels so good to be back. Isn't that right, Crescendo?
DJ Crescendo in the house.
We want to take this time to say thank you for your patience and your loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
You've waited 4 long years. Now, we don't want to make you wait a second more.
This episode of Murder, We Spoke, a live nonfiction podcast presented to you by the Murder, We Spoke Trio, is sponsored by
you. Thank you for your contributions to the Patreon. It is because of you our story lives on.
Without further ado, this is episode 8. Our story. The story. The one you've all been waiting for.
We return to 2015. Cress, Paula, and Bernie all stand around their prey, Roger Atwood, as he sits unconscious, tied to the chair.
Okay, so walk me through this again.
We are at the police station.
You are keeping an eye on Roger.
Yes, designated babysitter at your service.
We needed someone there to watch him in case he did end up saying something.
Yeah, I know. And if he did say anything, I was supposed to cause a big dramatic scene in front of the police, shouting about how he forced me to come here and is holding me against my will. Blah, blah, blah. I know my lines. I'm a professional.
So, why the seizure?
While we were waiting, Roger told me that he said that Rita made recordings.
Of what?
Of you, me, the plan, the blackmail, everything.
What about the security cameras?
What about them?
Did Rita disable them?
Yeah, I mean, Roger didn't say anything about those.
Okay, that's good news.
For who exactly?
Well, I mean, for all of us.
I didn't bash Rita's head in.
That's not what I mean.
What do you mean?
Oh, come on, that would be damning for all of us.
And this isn't?
It's just damning for us, Cress. Bernie looks like the poor little victim.
I'm not a victim.
Oh, really?
So she made some recordings. So what? Who knows where they are?
With the police.
What?
I mean, maybe. Roger said he saw the police taking things out of Rita's apartment, like her laptop.
Fuck.
If I recorded something, I would put it on my laptop.
Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Calm down.
Calm down?
If the cops had something, they would be here by now, right? Who knows what they have or if we can even trust what he says.
He's telling the truth.
We need to be sure.
He said that he had proof that we were not involved in Rita's murder. He's a creep, not a liar.
Well, look who's waking up.
Roger? Roger. Roger!
Fuck! Where am... Stay away from me.
Do you remember our conversation at the police station?
Help! Help! Can anyone hear me? Help!
Yeah, this is getting nowhere.
Roger, no one is going to hear you.
Soundproof studio. I'm a professional.
Let me go. Please. I promise I won't go to the police, I swear.
It's not you we're worried about.
At the police station. You said something about Rita and her laptop.
The recordings.
Told you so.
I believe you, not him.
No. It's true.
Prove it.
Untie me.
Yeah, right.
I won't run. I swear.
We do have the gun.
Paula, keep the gun on him. Now, I'm going to untie you. You are going to stay seated and not move. If you even so much as twitch, Paula will shoot you.
Thank you.
Now, what exactly are these recordings?
My phone. I need to get my phone.
Where is it?
My back pocket.
Slowly get it.
Okay. Okay.
Give it to Cress.
Go to my drive and look for the folder labeled porn.
No.
Just trust me.
I swear to God, if I see your dick.
Then definitely don't click on the folder labeled auditions.
Are you sure I can't shoot him?
Shit.
What is it?
Audio files?
Play the first one.
Cress presses play on Roger's phone. A hollow-sounding recording plays. Rita's voice echoes throughout the shed.
Roger? Roger? Roger, where are you?
Hello, Rita Morgan.
Jesus Christ. Were you just sitting in the dark?
I have been waiting for you, Rita Morgan.
Why do you keep saying my full name?
Yes, that is your name.
Rita Morgan.
Okay.
What did you want to discuss with me?
I bought the gun. Here.
Fuck! Watch where you're swinging that.
Chill out. I've handled a gun on stage before. My finger isn't touching the trigger.
Fuck. Okay. So, what exactly do you want to do with that gun?
We've been over this.
Maybe we can go over it again.
We've been over it plenty of times. Why would you want... Wait a second, are you recording this?
What? Record... How dare you even suggest... Where would you come up with something like that? Have you been recording me?
Yes.
I have never... Wait. What?
I've been recording since pretty much the beginning. I got everything you and Paula have said on this phone. Then I uploaded it to my computer.
Why?
Do you think I'm stupid?
What? No,
it's okay. A lot of people think I'm stupid. Or simple, or just oblivious. It's okay. I'm less intimidating that way. More people like working with me because, you know, they think they can tell me what to do.
We're a team, remember? You and me.
Yes, well, as enticing as your offer was to be your lead actress next season, I needed some more... assurance.
Like what?
You're going to take that gun, and you're going to kill Bernie.
I'm sorry, what?
Would you like me to say it into the phone?
The plan was to injure Bernie. You know, shoot her in the arm or something.
Think of the headline. Manager risks her life in a fatal struggle to save her employee.
But fatal?
Death, Roger. Death and violence. They're all people care about. Even the goody two-shoes riding so high on their horses with their claims of focusing on the victims. They go home, shut all the doors and windows, and scour the internet to learn more about the killer, just like the rest of us. Murders are more exciting, more popular than injuries.
I won't do it.
Oh. Did you forget why you're involved in the first place? You really want me to take all your unsolicited dick pics and hand them over to the public. Or, better yet, I'm pretty sure it's against the law to unknowingly film someone during a private audition. Especially if that someone is just shy of their 18th birthday. Oh, do you have any idea how fast your precious theater will shut down? You'll be driven out of this city. Especially after you preyed on someone like me. Sweet, stupid, simple, oblivious me.
If I was recording, why are you telling me this?
Because I am in control. I will not allow my career to simply fade into side characters, mother roles, or old nurses. I don't care how close to 30 I get, I am the ingenue. I am the leading lady. And I will milk all the news headlines, all the retweets, all the blood, gore, and death.
and you're going to help me to do it. You got all that?
The recording ends. Bernie, Cress, and Paula all stare at Roger.
Shit. That's the most I've ever respected her.
Seriously?
Well, I mean, okay, I don't like the fact that she wanted to kill you, but fuck. Bitch was vicious. Respect.
See? So I think we can all agree that Rita was the bad guy here.
You shot me.
I didn't kill you.
You missed. Even with Rita holding me, you missed.
What do we do about the laptop?
We need to figure out a way to control the narrative.
And how are we going to do that?
I don't know.
We need to show and tell.
How?
Cress, those cameras on?
Of course not.
Well, I'm going to need you to turn them on.
Why?
We're going to shoot ourselves a little movie, and Roger is going to be the star.
I don't think we should involve Roger anymore.
Trust me. This is what's best for all of us.
Those words echo in Bernie's mind. She's heard them before. 24 years ago, 8-year-old Bernie jumps out of bed after hearing her father's door loudly creak open and close. Her tiny ears immediately register the deadly quiet of the house. The ominous beep of her father's monitor is gone. Something is not right. She quietly opens her bedroom door and is careful to not make a sound walking down the hallway. The light in the kitchen catches her attention. As she turns the corner, she sees her mother sitting at the kitchen table. She stares out the window at absolutely nothing as a grin stretches across her face.
What are you doing awake?
I heard something.
It was your father's door creaking, wasn't it? I've been meaning to fix that.
Is that okay?
Everything is fine. Trust me. This is what's best for all of us, okay? Just trust me. Just shh. You hear that? Nothing, right? Before, all you could hear was that machine beeping. 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 All the time. All hours of the day and night. Beeping. Beeping. Beeping! I couldn't sleep, you understand? I couldn't sleep. I've not been able to sleep since the beeping. Beeping, beeping. But now, we can both sleep. Tomorrow is a new day. Nothing can stand in our way now.
End of episode 8, part 1. Voice acting for this episode provided by
Lisa Bowl,
Thomas Daniels,
Maria Fernanda Diez,
Mary Glenn Frederick,
Hannah Karpenko,
Tom Morin,
Luli Gomez Teruel,
and
Jenna Zhu.
Stage managed by Olivia Timon.
Directed by Lila Rachel Becker.
Written by Rachel Bykowski.
Sound editing, Thomas Daniels. Audio consultant, Derek A. Graham. Music for today's episode from White Records, Red Productions, and Cube Sounds. Special thanks to the Alliance of Resident Theaters New York, the New York Council on the Arts, Karen Hammond, and Amanda Brummond. Additional thanks to Josh Pritchard, Kelly Florence, Nina Field, Lakin McCarty, Alice Wu, Rachel Mock, Carter Caldwell, Alicia Kunkel, Liat Graff, and Tracy Greenwood. It's almost too gruesome to be believed. Were the reports real? Or was Paula crafting her own story?
About a penis. Sorry, now that my mic's on, I just wanted to make